The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February 2024 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to begin today on the second line of Who's Who in Sports. Matt Olson, Atlanta Braves first baseman. His height is 6'5". His weight is 225 pounds. He was born March 29th, 1994, hometown Lilburn, Georgia. Matt, in his second season with the Braves, Olson set a franchise record with 54 home runs, and he also led the majors in RBIs with 139. Olson began his career with the A's, finishing fourth in the 2017 American League Rookie of the Year voting after hitting 24 homers in 59 games. But did you know, other than Olson, only one Brave has hit 50 homers in a season? Andrew Jones. Former home run king Henry Aaron, who hit 755 in his career, never hit more than 47 in a season. Shedeur Sanders, Colorado Buffalo's quarterback. His height is 6'2". His weight is 215 pounds. He was born February 7, 2002, hometown Dallas, Texas. After transferring from Jackson State, where he won the Deacon Jones Trophy as the top player at an HBCU, historically black college and university, Sanders helped revitalize the Buffalo's program. He threw for 3,230 yards as the team improved its win total from 1-4. Sanders had 27 TD passes and just 3 interceptions. Did you know Sanders' dad and CU coach Dion is the only player to appear in a Super Bowl and a World Series? Alyssa Peely, Utah Utes forward. Height 6'2". Born June 8, 2001, hometown, Anchorage, Arkansas. Peely helped Utah reach the top 10 for the first time in program history last season. She averaged 20.7 points and 5.6 rebounds per game as the Utes won a share of the Pac-12 title for the first time in their history. Peely, who transferred from USC after 3 seasons with the Trojans, was named Conference Player of the Year. But did you know Peely won a total of 13 Alaska state titles? By the way, her hometown was Anchorage, Alaska. Peely won a total of 13 Alaska state titles in high school in basketball, volleyball, track and field, and wrestling. Quite an athlete. Welcome to the Dark Ages. Tom Brady created a stir last November when he told Stephen A. Smith, "I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. First off, Tom, props, bro. An athlete of your stature doesn't need to say anything controversial to become a media personality. But you've come out of the gates firing with a hot take worthy of this magazine. If you ever want to pen a guest column, I'd be happy to take an issue off. Secondly, I believe you. People have painted Brady as yet another middle-aged retiree complaining about how things were better back in his day. The difference, however, between Tom Brady and, well, really, every other 46-year-old former QB is that Brady was beating those kids on the field just a year ago. So let's take Brady seriously. In 2019, the cover of this very magazine declared, "Sorry, grown-ups, the golden age is now," with an image of Stephen Curry, Serena Williams, Simone Biles, and Brady as marble and gold statues. Brady and Williams have retired. Biles and Curry are probably in the back half of their careers. Has a new crop of stars risen to replace them? I don't think so. Look at the NFL. Around the time Brady made his statement, first-year starters Sam Howell and C.J. Stroud were pacing the league in passing yards. That suggests a bright future for the Commanders and Texans. But what does it say about the rest of the league that two newbies were leading a category once dominated by Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees? Brady, Manning, and Patrick Mahomes became the first passers to throw 50 touchdowns in a season in the prior two decades. When the GOAT groused, nobody was on pace to break 40 this season. The NBA seemed a few years away from a similar situation. LeBron James has the NBA's only pre-1985 birthday, but he's still crossing over players born in the 21st century. It's a testament to the King's greatness, but maybe it reflects a decline too. Lionel Messi, 36, edged out a bunch of guys in their early 20s to win last year's Ballon d'Or. Brady blamed modern rules for teaching NFL players bad habits. Pass interference and roughing the passers. Penalties have gotten stricter. They incentivize quarterbacks to hang in the pocket longer and underthrow deep balls, hoping it'll get their receiver and a defensive back tangled up. Similar trends exist in other leagues. How many times has James Harden awkwardly jumped into a defender trying to draw a cheap foul? Modern baseball players love to swing wildly, hoping for the all-important home run. On the other hand, there are a handful of do-it-all athletes, like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shohei Ohtani. It's tough to weigh the singular statistical achievements of a player like Ohtani against the reality that he and every other modern pitcher will likely never reach 300 wins. I'm equivocating, though. I'm afraid to admit that there is no next LeBron James. Nobody in today's NHL is going to chase the all-time goal record after Alexander Ovechkin takes it from Wayne Gretzky. Oh, no. We really are in a dark age. I can be philosophical about this situation, though. Down years can be fun. If you're the kind of fan who just roots for the best players, bummer. Try tennis. But for the rest of us who want to see our favorite player or favorite team have a chance, parity rocks. 10 different teams have a shot at the NBA Finals. And when it comes to a supposed golden or dark age in sports, the word age is a tad dramatic. Remember when I said SI Kids declared a golden age in 2019, just 5 years ago? The capital D, dark ages, supposedly lasted 10 centuries between the fall of Rome and the Renaissance. I don't think we'll have to wait 1,000 years for the Patriots to find another franchise quarterback. The Jets, on the other hand, have you seen that off-parody meme that goes, hard times create strong people. Strong people create good times. Good times create weak people. Weak people create hard times. Well, I've got a new one for you. Bad sports create great columnists. Great columnists create hot takes. Hot takes create smart kids. Smart kids play good sports. January birthdays. Atlanta Braves second baseman Ozzie Albies turns 27. John Carlson of the Washington Capitals is 34 years old. January 18th, Spain's Atlanta Bonmati celebrates her 26th birthday. And on January 20th, the Miami Heat's Tyler Hero celebrates his 24th birthday. Creature discomforts. Wild on the pitch. Kangaroos and bats and alligators, oh my. Here's what happens when the animal kingdom intersects with the sports world. Hop to it, mate. December 6, 2007. Golf galleries are expected to be well-behaved and quiet, and under no circumstances should they interfere with play. Apparently no one told that to the kangaroo who barged onto the 12th fairway as Rory Sabatini was getting ready to hit at the Australian PGA Championship. Perhaps Sabatini should have had the roo follow him for the rest of the round. He made an eagle, 3 on the hole. Caped Crusader, February 2, 2019. It's said that it takes a thief to catch a thief. So what better way to catch a bat than to call on Batman? or at least a mascot in a Batman costume. Bats have been known to interrupt the Spurs' home games, including one that pestered Hall of Fame guard Manu Ginobili on Halloween. So during a game against the Pelicans, the Coyote took matters into his own hands, using a net to snare a bat on the court. The Cubs' cursed cat, September 9, 1969. Late in the 1969 season, the Cubs were clinging to a 1.5-game lead over the Mets. As the teams played in New York, a black cat walked in front of Chicago slugger Ron Santo as he stood on the on-deck circle. The Cubs went on to lose the game 7-1. The next day, they lost again to fall out of first place. And 23 days later, they finished the season 8 games behind the Mets. Things got nutty, 2011, both season. During consecutive games of the 2011 National League Division Series between the Phillies and Cardinals, a squirrel came onto the field in St. Louis. The Cardinals adopted the little guy as an unofficial mascot they called the Rally Squirrel. Its mojo came in especially handy during Game 6 of the World Series when St. Louis twice came back after being a strike away from losing the series, which it won the next day. See you later, Gator. April 26th, 2018. Anyone with herpetophobia, a fear of reptiles, might want to steer clear of the TPC Louisiana course. The tournament played at the site, the Zurich Classic, is often visited by alligators. Mostly they are content to stay out of the way, like the one above in 2018. But a few years earlier, player John Peterson had to nudge a gator that got too close to the action back into a lake using a rake. Moving on to page 22, what if your team never wins a championship? Showing on page 22, a fan with his head and face in his hands showing a replica of the football championship, basketball, hockey. Oh, my. The year 2000 ushered in the 21st century. I was 9 years old. I had a subscription to Sports Illustrated Kids. That January, my beloved Tennessee Titans lost Super Bowl 34 in heartbreaking fashion, famously coming up 1 yard short. I, however, was not upset. Surely getting so close meant they would claim many titles and soon. I'm not going to tell you how old I am now, but feel free to do the math. Suffice it to say, we are now 23 years into this century, and things have not panned out the way I had hoped. In the past, it seemed like a matter of patiently waiting my turn. Now I am considering the very real possibility that a parade through Nashville may never happen. I know what you're thinking. Who cares? Journalists are supposed to be objective and not have a favorite team. I'm not writing this article just to complain. I was once in your shoes, optimistic and reading my favorite magazine. But one day you could be like me, whiny and writing this magazine instead. So think of me as the ghost of Christmas future, come a month too late. I want to prepare you for the possibility of no championships, or at least of an interminable wait. After all, your generation thinks anything is possible. The Golden Knights, Nuggets, and Texas Rangers were all first-time champions last year. The Cubs and Red Sox curses laws of nature when I was a kid are ancient history. Leicester City won the Premier League. But since this article is already pretty depressing, I'm just going to fully commit. There are active championship droughts older than the oldest person who ever lived. Preston North End FC hasn't won the top division of English football since 1890. That's 133 years. Jean Calment of France died in 1997 at 122. Clearly, I am taking this most recent Titans season very badly. I'm the Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi. Spoiler alert. It's too late for me. But I want you to go on, Luke, and enjoy an Ottawa Senators championship parade before Kylo Ren chases you off to that island. So here is my advice for how to ensure your favorite team wins the big one. 1. Do it yourself. You know who grew up a Mets fan? Newly appointed Mets president David Stearns. It's very hard to get a job running any pro sports team, much less the team you rooted for as a kid. Clearly, however, it's possible. You've heard the old saying, if you want something done right, you're going to have to do it yourself. Study contract law or statistics at a top college, and then get an internship with that team and work your way up. It won't be easy, but you've got time. 2. Hedge your bets. Simple math. Rooting for teams increases the chance of one of them winning a title. There's a limit to this logic. If you root for 10 NFL teams and one of them wins the Super Bowl, it'll be a stretch to say your team won the big game. It also probably makes the payout way less fun. Again, I wouldn't know. No one, however, thinks it odd if someone has one favorite team in 6 different sports. In some cities, fans can root for a local squad in each of the big 4 major leagues, plus a WNBA team, minor league baseball teams, an MLS franchise, and more. So branch out. Choose a favorite Spanish soccer team. Pick a golfer. Get really, really invested in cricket. 3, take a new perspective. I mentioned earlier that Preston North End FC hasn't won the top division of English soccer since 1890. Yet I don't think it's a psychological preoccupation for the people of Preston, Lancashire's population 147,900, the way the Red Sox futility was for Boston. North End FC is a middling team in the second division of English soccer now. It would be a huge success just for them to be a bad team in the Premier League these days. I could be wrong. These North End fans could be the most frustrated people on earth. But I suspect we could all learn something from them. Sports in North America are designed to give everyone at least a shot at the championship. What with our reverse order amateur drafts and salary caps? Maybe, however, in the pursuit of fairness, we've emphasized the championship a little too much. After all, I still like sports, enough to write about them at least. From now on, I vow to enjoy watching the game for their own sakes, not some far-off reward. Unless Will Levis can one day lead the Titans to a Super Bowl championship, you'll never hear the end of it. Fast Facts. Victor Wembanyama, San Antonio Spurs forward. Fast Facts. Last June, Wembanyama became the first player from France and second from Europe to be the top pick in the WNBA draft. In his 5th game with the Spurs, he had 38 points, and on November 18th, he became the franchise's 3rd rookie to block 8 shots in a game. Wembanyama stands 7'4" and has a wingspan of nearly 8 feet. And then we have Corey Seager, Texas Rangers shortstop. Fast Facts. A 4-time All-Star, Seager had the first best season of his career, hitting .327 with 33 home runs as the Rangers won their first championship. In the World Series against the Diamondbacks, he hit 3 homers and drove in 6 runs in 5 games. Earning MVP honors, Seager was also World Series MVP in 2020 when he had an OPS of 1.256 for the Dodgers against the Rays. The great mistakes, M-I-S-T-A-K-E-S issue. Look, we messed up. Due to a miscommunication, our illustrator drew a sports mistake instead of sports mistake. You got the cover for us. If anyone asked, we did it on purpose. We need to set the scene a little bit. You'll all remember the 1986 World Series. The Red Sox had the Mets right where they wanted them. Down 5-3 in the 10th inning of Game 6, Boston was one strike away from ending the curse of the Bambino. More on that later. With two outs, the Mets managed to scratch out two runs. Then, with a runner on second, Mets outfielder Mookie Wilson hit a slow grounder up the first baseline. It went through the legs of Red Sox first baseman Bill Buckner. The Mets scored, winning the game and forcing Game 7, which they also won. Okay, so you don't actually remember 1986. Neither do I. But if you're a fan of baseball, I'm not showing you the photo to the right for the first time. Imagine if people were still talking about a single mistake you made almost 40 years later. That misplay has totally eclipsed Buckner's solid 22-year career in Major League Baseball. But Buckner teaches us an important lesson. You have to be on the field in a big moment to make a famous mistake. The NBA's all-time leader in turnovers is LeBron James. Reggie Jackson, remembered as the greatest clutch hitter ever, also has the Major League Baseball record for strikeouts. Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And Gretzky himself missed thousands. Buckner would have looked better if he was nowhere near the ball, but he tried to make a play. Here's a picture of Bill Buckner on that infamous play. Fit the bill. We couldn't do an entire issue about famous mistakes without addressing Bill Buckner's era. Sure you could. Tony Romo's side hustle fumble. When he took over starting quarterback for the Cowboys, Tony Romo remained the team's holder. That led to a weird situation in the 2006 NFC wildcard game. As a quarterback, Romo had led his team to a certain victory, needing just a last-second chip shot field goal to beat the Seahawks. But as the holder, he blew it. He fumbled the snap, then tried to recover by running it for a touchdown before getting tackled on the one. J.R. Smith forgets the score. LeBron James has a very expressive face. J.R. Smith did a lot of things that caused it to contort. As good as they were as a basketball combo, they were even better at producing memes. With just over 4 seconds left in a tied game, one of the 2018 finals, George Hill missed a free throw that would have given the Cavs a one-point lead. Smith grabbed the rebound and instead of going back to the basket, dribbled the ball out to midcourt. He realized the team wasn't winning when he saw James' furious pointing. But it was too late. The game went to overtime, which Golden State won. It was hilarious, if you're not a Cavs fan. Hack performance. Hack Wilson hit .471 for the Cubs in the 1929 World Series, but he lost two balls in the sun in Game 4, letting the A's score 10 runs in one inning. Philadelphia won the game 10-8, and the A's in the series 4-1. Johnny on the spot. When his Giants walking off against the Cubs in 1908, Fred Merkle didn't bother running to second base from first, but Chicago's Johnny Evers tagged the bag, and the Cubs finished one game ahead of the Giants. The band is on the field. It's a moment so famous that it's now simply known as the play. It could just as easily be called the comedy of errors. Leading 20-19 with a few seconds left in their 1982 rivalry game, Stanford kicked off to Cal. The Golden Bears executed 5 laterals, some of dubious legality, en route to Kevin Moen running for a touchdown. The rest possible missed calls got bailed out by Stanford's band, which had run onto the field during the return. Subway slip up. Let this be a lesson about running out every ball. A-Rod popped it up with 2 outs in the 9th and Yankees on 1st and 2nd. Mets second baseman Luis Castillo dropped it and both runners scored. Zidane loses his head. This mistake is more a lapse in judgment than a whoopsie. In the 2006 World Cup Finals, France's Zinedine Zidane replied to some Italian smack talk with a headbutt. France then lost on penalties. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. Usually in college rivalry, whichever team won last has bragging rights. Sometimes, however, a loss is so embarrassing that it hangs over the matchup for years. Michigan had Michigan State dead to rights in 2015. The Wolverines were up 2 points, punting with 10 seconds left. Basically, all they had to do was not fumble the snap so badly that the Spartans could recover it and run it for a touchdown. And that play, about that. Too soon, Lindsey Giacobelli's fall and redemption. The USA's Lindsey Giacobelli was a sure gold medalist at the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin. Right before she crossed the finish line in the snowboard cross final, however, she tried to grab her board in celebration and fell, allowing Tanja Frieden of Switzerland to pass her. She won gold 16 years later in Beijing. Kaylin Clay arrived without the ball. In 2014, Utah's Kaylin Clay wasn't the first or last receiver to celebrate too early and en route to the end zone. Clay's unique mistake, however, wasn't that he got caught up by a defender. He just dropped the ball on the one-yard line. Leon Letts let down. During Super Bowl 27, Leon Lett allowed a Bills player to catch him when celebrating a touchdown too early. Next season, he touched the block field goal, letting the Dolphins kick again. Luckily for him, the Cowboys won the Super Bowl both years. Chris Webber calls a timeout that Michigan didn't have. Sorry, Michigan fans, that you've already appeared twice in this issue. But before he was an NBA superstar, Chris Webber made an infamous blunder in the 1993 NCAA championship game, calling a timeout down 2 points with 11 seconds left. One problem, Michigan was out of timeouts, leading to a technical foul and a North Carolina win. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.